In the hymn we just sang, the first line starts out, "In times like these, you need the Bible." And this evening, with the help of the Spirit of God, I want to encourage you to read the Word of God more than you do. I speak to my own heart. And then I've raised the question, why read the Bible daily? So as a springboard to my subject, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul gave various instructions to Timothy. Timothy had a very responsible ministry, and as part of that ministry, he says in verse 13 of 1 Timothy 4, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Give attendance to reading. In those days, of course, there were no printing presses, and any copies of the Old Testament scriptures or any of the New Testament books, such as perhaps the letter of James, perhaps Mark's Gospel, among the early writings of the New Testament, they had to be dependent on public reading of God's Word. And I always feel this is so important in relation to our meetings, that the Word of God has prominence. Christ has the preeminence, certainly. But if you take this book away from me, I have nothing to say. I have no authority apart from the Word of God. Just a few things introducing our subject. John Quincy Adams was the sixth president of the United States. He lived from 1767 to 1848. His father, John Adams, was the second president of the United States of America, following George Washington. As Secretary of State, John Quincy Adams helped formulate the Monroe Doctrine and later became an active campaigner against slavery. And this is what he said: "My custom is to read four or five chapters of the Bible every morning immediately after rising. It seems to me the most suitable manner of beginning the day. It is an invaluable and inexhaustible mine of knowledge and virtue." And then it was William Wilberforce, who lived from 1759 to 1833, a British politician and social reformer, who exclaimed regarding the Bible, "Let no religious book take its place. People do not read the Bible enough." Daniel Webster, who lived from 1782 to 1852, was a U.S. politician and noted orator, and this is what he said: "From the time that at my mother's feet or on my father's knee, I first learned to lisp the verses from the sacred writings, they have been my daily study and vigilant contemplation." My high school principal, Dr. Frankie Gabeline, when asked what counsel he wished to pass along to the next generation of Christians, he said this: "Maintain at all costs a daily time of scripture reading and prayer. As I look back," he said, "I see that the most formative influence in my life and thought has been my daily contact with scripture over 60 years." We need always, as I've already indicated, to emphasize the Word of God. It is the instrument of the new birth. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I hope you've been born again. If I speak to anyone here, we're just a small company. But if there's anyone here that's not born again, you need to be born again. I believe there's very little time left to come to God's Lamb, and as we've been singing, to be washed from our sins in His precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. The Christian life begins by receiving in simple faith the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. Then, once saved, daily, systematic, personal reading and study of the Bible brings many advantages to the believing heart and mind. I'm convinced that only a small number of God's people set aside at least a little time every day. Notice what I said, every day, daily, to read God's Word and to spend a little time at least in prayer. God speaks to us through His Word. I hear people say, and we all use the expression, the Lord led me to do this, the Lord led me to do that. Well, how does He lead us? There's no extra biblical revelation. His leading, His instruction, His voice comes to us for direction, for wisdom, for guidance from the Word of God. And it's the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and applies it to our hearts and minds. My encouragement for you this evening is to be a daily reader of God's Word. If you're not doing that, you're really not carrying out the will of the Lord as we find it in the Scriptures. Why read the Bible? Well, among other things, it will help us to have a consistent walk with God. I don't know what revelation Enoch may have had in his day. He, of course, was one of the two in the Bible of whom it is said he walked with God. And then he never went through physical death. God took him out of this world, but before He took him out of this world. It was evident about the age of 60 that Enoch came to know the Lord, and for 300 years, in a dark and difficult day, a violent day, an evil day, we read that he walked with God. Read Genesis chapter 5 and the few words that we have concerning his testimony in Hebrews 11, and one reference to him as a prophet in the little letter of Jude. I don't know in what way God communicated to Enoch, because he didn't have what we have, the revelation of the Word of God. But obviously, he spoke to Enoch and guided him and helped him.